This is HPR episode 2645 entitled Blinking LED and is part of the series Hobby Electronics. It is hosted by Ken Fallon and is about 23 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, in this live show, Ken sees if he can follow simple instructions. Today's show is licensed under a CC by NCSA license.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today I'm going to do something a bit different. For a start, my recording setup is in Audacity, and because I'm in the room here with the fridge, there's a massive buzz on the recording. But actually I just did a test there, and if I split the audio tracks, the buzzing seems to be limited to one side only. I'm very interested to know why that is. If somebody has any ideas, you can record a show as ever. Okay, I have 19 minutes and 38 seconds to do this show. Hopefully it won't take that long. And I'm doing it live as we speak. What is it that you're doing, pray? Well, people will remember back in the New Year's show, I managed to solder a device, and said device is here before me. It didn't work after the New Year show, but on HPR 2591 International Troubleshooting, MY Build troubleshoots a DIY kit for Ken Fallon. And it's here right now and it is working. It is booting up and it's saying that there are 6.8 volts in this battery. And what I'm testing is a BJT NPM device, which is really cool. But that's not what I brought you here for. As you know, NYBill spent quite a considerable amount of money on this device. Not only was the shipping more expensive than the device itself, but he bought a camera or a telescope, a soldering telescope, and all sorts and little bits and pieces. So I very much appreciate what he did there. So I was surprised to find he shipped it back to me, which was kind of nuts anyway, because it was just so expensive. But he also calibrated the thing, so it's I'm really happy to have this device right here on the desk, and it's really nice. And I'm actually using it. It's very, very handy. So in along with this package was a little piece of foam, and on it were two tiny little chips, and one look at them had me smiling because it's NT555P, and the email says, now figure out how to make those LED blinks, to make LEDs blink with those 555s. So I'm going to take his LEDs as being one LED. And I went into DuckDuckGo, and the first hit was a flashing LED using 555 timer by Tyrell E. Soto in Technology LEDs. And it's CC by NC-SA. So that is the license that this show will be released under, a CC by NC share alike. So if you're not familiar with Creative Commons, HPR, all the shows are released under some form of Creative Commons, and you can specify a range of them. In this, he or she is requesting attribution. They are requesting attribution would be better, safer all around. And we can use this for non-commercial purposes, which we're doing, and we can share alike. So we have to share this show. So I have to release the show under the same license because I'm using their work. So that is it. So the first page has a breadboard with a schematic beside it. And for a long time, I didn't know what a breadboard was. To me, a breadboard was something that you cut bread up on. But you get them in all shapes and sizes, and they're used for prototyping electronics. So they're generally, the one I'm going to be using here, I've got a quite small one, which is nice, about the size of a postage stamp, if you can remember what those were. So how they tend to work is, on the left-hand side and the right-hand side, you have two rows of pins that usually have a positive and negative on them. They don't have to be hooked up. And they roll, if we're looking at this as a rectangular, the long end looking in landscape format. So all along the top and all along the bottom are two rows of plus and minus. And then running from top to bottom and top to bottom, there are rows of five pins. So labeled one from the left, labeled one the whole way over to the right, labeled 30. So the top half, the bottom half is A, B, C, D, E, and there's a channel, and the top half is F, G, H, I, J. So I'll be using that as a reference. So everything in pin 1 is connected together. So pin 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, and 1E are connected together, as are pin 1F, G, H, I, and J are connected together. But 1A to E are not connected to 1F to J. And that continues the whole way down the breadboard to the point of 30, where 30, A, B, C, and D, and E are all basically the same sliver of metal underneath. And what these things allow you to do is take some basic components. I've got a resistor, and you can plop them in, and it kind of crimps them and holds them. So that's what a breadboard is. Okay, moving on. And on the other side is a schematic diagram, and it uses like a square rectangle to represent a resistor, and it uses two black lines together and not crossing to represent a capacitor. And a resistor, as we've heard already, is a device that will restrict the flow of electricity, and a capacitor is like a small thing for think of it like a balloon, where it holds a certain amount, resists a certain amount of current, I believe. All of this is coming from a mechanical engineer who already did this project, and it didn't work, just by the way, so don't be getting your hopes up. From my understanding, a capacitor is similar to like a balloon. It stores energy, doesn't allow any energy to flow from one side to the other, but it does store energy. Now, if somebody can give me a better explanation of that, that would be awesome. Apparently it's like fairy dust, adding more capacitance. And the last thing is a little LED, light emitting diode. Okay, so I've got two resistors that are 1K, 1 kilo ohm, and one that is 470 kilo ohms. Now, and then we have the 555 timer, which is a tiny little chip about the size of my fingernail on my small hand, which isn't by any means small. This is a dual inline socket, apparently. Just goes to show I pick up stuff from all these YouTube electronic videos I'm watching. And on most chips, there's a little notch to tell you the orientation of it, because you don't know where the orientation is. So the notch in this one happens to be at the top. So that tells me that on the top left, that's pin one. And then there are four pins going from pin one, two, three, four down the bottom. And then on the bottom right is pin five, and then working my way up, six, seven, eight, which is the last one at the top. So that's it. Now, as I said, I've done this already. It didn't work, so the LED came on, but it didn't flash. So the only thing that was different between that and this one is that I've got a brand new battery, which is producing 9 volts. The battery, the component tester, is happy to work at 6.7 volts. So I'm wondering, is that the issue here? So this Instructables article, so instructables.com, ID:\flashing-L-E-D-using-555-timer. So Instructables, flashing dash LED using 555 timer, which you will of course find in the show notes. And let me see, there's a video as well. So you need a breadboard, a 9-volt battery, some battery clips, jumper wires, 555 timer, a capacitor that's 1 micro 1 microfarad. Now, how can we test that? Well, we take our component tester and we put it into the component tester and we shut the component tester and we press the magic button. And it tells me that it is 9.525 nanofarads, not microfarads, nanofarads. So I need a 1 microfarad capacitor. So that 1 nanofarad, is that the same? 1 nanofarad? I'm working on the assumption that that is correct. It's got 104 written on it. Okay, and then I have 2 resistors, which I'm now going to test. Press the button, turn it off. Oh, it says the battery's weak. Testing. And it is 1,000 ohms, which is 1K. That's good. 1,000 ohms. I'm checking all the components here as I go along. And I'm just going to replace the battery of that failing battery with a brand new 9-volt battery, which gives me a total of unknown or damaged. So I'm going to put the LED in, press the magic button, LED flashes, and it tells me it's an LED with a forward voltage of 1.94 volts. So we know that component is working. Putting in another resistor into the tester, pressing the magic button, and it's telling me 998.4 ohms. It's close enough for jazz, I reckon. And then the final component is a, should be that 470K, and it is 456 ohms, not K. Oh, hold on. It's 456 ohms, not 456 kilo ohms, folks. Do we have our culprit here? So I'm gonna nip over and get a 456 kilo ohm. But I need a 470. So I now have a 47 kilo ohm. Let me just test that right now. 474 kilo ohms. Okay, so that could be it. That could be it. So now all we need to do is basically follow the instructions, which obviously I haven't done, but I will do it now. So first thing, there's photographs of everything. I'm actually now going to completely follow the instructions. I'm putting pin 1 into row 6E. Now his breadboard is labeled the other way around, but I'm going to do it exactly the same way. I'm hooking up a red lead to the top positive channel, and I'm putting that on pin 8, which is row 6 on my breadboard. I'm now taking a black lead and I'm connecting it to pin 1 of a chip, which is row 6, but on the bottom half, A to E side, and I'm putting it into the black channel on the bottom, which isn't connected to a battery as yet. Okay, so that's step 3 done. So step 4 is to connect a red wire from pin 8 over to pin 8 to pin 4. That's right there. And now I printed off this diagram and I'm now marking in the connections. That pin 4 to pin is now connected. I have a connection from pin 1 down to negative, and I've got a connection 8 up to the positive. There we go. It's drawn in physically on that circuit diagram. So that's step 5 complete. Step 6 is connecting pin 2 to pin, or pin 2 to pin 6. That is correct. And using a yellow jumper wire, I will just grab a yellow jumper wire and use that. So pin 2 connects to pin 4, 5, 6. So pin 2 is now connected to pin 6. And he has placed a capacitor onto the leg of pin 2. So pin 2 is connected to pin 6, as I draw it in green. And the capacitor, he's using an electrolytic capacitor, and I'm using a, should I use an electrolytic? Might be 1 microfarad. I am a bit concerned about that. I may need to go look that up. So I'm retesting this capacitor, and I will look that up now because I don't want to be a silly billy. Now, according to this, 1 microfarad, this thing is actually 0.095 microfarads. So 95 nanofarads is 0.015 microfarads. So that is obviously not correct as well. There you go. So I will pause this and locate a proper one. That was a bit silly. But, you know, this is actually a good thing, because it's made me, having to talk out loud has made me have to recheck everything. And, yeah, bit silly though. Okay, I'll pause the recording. Yeah, I should have known. I have it here on my board where I keep all my notes from Dave about whether, and the use of it's and it's been. And it says, yes, we're looking for one microfarad, and one microfarad is equivalent to 0.00001 farads, and that's that. Timer is up. Or one microfarad is equal to 1,000 nanofarads, or 1,000,000 picofarads. So I will go look at the dinner and find an appropriate capacitor. I'll be back. Okay, the shepherd's pie is doing okay. And I got myself a collection of capacitors from Banggood, or no, Deal Extreme, code 132738 some time ago. And they're electrolytic, and it says 50 volt, 1 microfarad, and showing the positive and negative legs, because it's an electrolytic and it is polarized. So let us see here what this thing thinks it is. Just having to bend the legs a smidgen too. Hold on. Need to set another timer, excuse me here, of 15 minutes. Whoop, no, that's 15 seconds. 1500. Okay, unknown part, yes, because I haven't done it. Press the magic button. 9.1 volts testing, and it is a 1070 nanofarad. And we know that there are 1000 nanofarads in a microfarad. Hi, sweetie, everything okay? Okay, well, pause this while we go look for your glasses. Okay, glasses are nowhere to be found, but she has on a play date, so perhaps they're over there. Alrighty. So I'm looking at a 1,000 nanofarads. Let me just put that in to there, 1070 nanofarads into old format alpha. Credit where credit is due, and that's 1.0 microfarads, which is close enough for jazz, I reckon. The unit. Now, and I connect that to the leg of. Actually, these instructions are excellent. He's got numbered instructions in the photos, and then he has the individual component that he's connecting up. So the how far he is in total, and the individual component that he's doing. Again, I'm presuming it's a he. Sorry, this is just. Well, statistically, I'm probably right, but still. Pin 2 to pin to the negative rail. Now, we've got to be careful here, because the negative has to go to the negative rail. So that's the short. So the long foot goes to pin 2. The short foot negative. Am I 100% right about that? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So that is step 8 complete. Let me just draw that in here on my diagram. 3 is the whole negative rail. Now, the next thing that she connects up is the is to pin 3. It's the 470 kilo ohm resistor, which we now double check, and it says 474 kilo ohm. Excellent. So I'm connecting that to pin 3, and then out to somewhere, so I think so pin 3 is over there, and resistors doesn't matter which way they go around. And the other leg is in rail 14, so that's pin 3 is in rail 8, and the other leg is in rail 14. So looking good so far. Now he has connected, let me mark resistor, the LED, and LEDs are polarized, yes. So how you can tell which is which is the long leg is the positive one. And if you look inside, you can see like a small bit and an anvil, somebody with a very long nose. And someone with a very long nose bit is the minus, and the plus is short bit. Short leg is usually the minus, and if you look down from the top, there's also a little piece cut edge. And in all three, that tells me that this is the minus. Of course, I can also do this. I can put it into the tester, press test, and it should also tell me which is, what does it, flashes the LED. It's continuing to flash the LED. Turn it on. No, we're back. Testing. It's testing the LED, and then it tells me that pin 1 is the positive pin, which is the long leg. Correct. So that's going from positive to negative. So I'm connecting up the end of that resistor. The pin, this is on rail 14. 1 is touching the end of that. Hold on, that's wrong. That is the wrong resistor 3. Going to pin 3 is a 1K resistor, which is this one. See, I'm not paying attention, guys. Paying attention. Had the wrong resistor in, guys. It's going to pin 3 over pin 4 of that LED, and the LED jumps with one leg to the end of the 1K resistor and the other leg into the rail. So the next part is not shown here actually in the drawing, so I'm just going to do, and those are the two resistors. So there's a resistor going from pin 6 up to the positive rail, I guess. Yeah, pin 6 positive rail, 4, 5, and that one is the 470 kilo ohms. 470 kilo ohms, yep. And that one is going from pin 6 up to row 8. And that leaves me with one resistor. Well, actually, it doesn't go up to pin 6. Pin 7 needs to. Hold on, I'm not 100% sure correct on this. I'm taking that out and I'm going to pause for a moment while I check something. Okay, I've only got 5 minutes left until I need to take the shepherd's pie out, at least. So let me see. I kind of skipped over some stuff here, and the one that I need to connect up, and I'm going to do it the same way as they did it, is connecting pin 1, 4, 5, 6 to pin 7 with a 4K0 resistor. And this, for the third time, we're going to test this resistor. Yep. So what they reckon you do is connect it from rail 7 to rail 8. 7, I've done that. Maybe I just don't have the patience to be trying to get it, could be it. Anyway, the other one is connecting from rail 7 to the positive rail. And that's with my 1K resistor. Are these even right? 1,000 ohms. That's 1 kilo ohm. Correct. Okay, and that is showing it going from rail 7. Makes sense? Yes. Rail 7 up positive rail. Okay, so looks very much like step 10. And step 11 is putting in the battery. Let's see, how, of course. What was that? It's a message from the mother of her friend, and the glasses are not there. Ding, ding, ding. The mystery. So, the mystery of is this going to work or not is right here, connecting up. So, trying to put in the connector for the battery. It's to be in. Okay, we hook it up. We hook it up, see what happens. The LED light comes on, my friends. The LED light goes off. We have a blinking circuit. That's blinking brilliant, that is. I am fracking chuffed by that. Absolutely excellent. You probably learned absolutely zero in this entire episode, other than that you can get an LED to blink with a 555 timer. There is a good book that I'm reading called Make Electronics. And he has a very good rundown of how a 555 timer works and how you can get it from stable to astable and blah, blah, blah modes. So that is something for another time. Unfortunately, that is not Creative Commons, so I cannot use that. This is working, guys. I am chuffed, to say the least. Anyway, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio, where maybe you will find out if my shepherd's pie is burnt or not. Well, we found the glasses. They were in her room at her sink. And the shepherd pie needs another 5 minutes. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.